There is a whole lot of love in today's readings. In the gospel, Jesus was asked by his opponents, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Now, the agenda here was not necessarily to solicit from the Lord the right answer, but rather his opponents were seeking to trip him up in some way. And notice that our Lord clearly, succinctly, and without hesitation, states that the first of all the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this may have been revolutionary for the Jews of the time, for the Hebrew scriptures had included 613 commands within the text. It's a lot. It's a huge number. It's a lot to remember. And the question was, what is the most important and why? And notice in the first reading that was proclaimed that straight away Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, in which Moses affirms the command to love God. Because of God's nature and his shepherding of the people through the wilderness, Moses was able to declare to all that the primary commandment was to love God. And we are also asked to do the same, to delight in our God, to cherish him, to seek to know him, to spend time in worship with him, to pray. You see, our God does not ask that we just give part of ourselves to him. He asks for the whole package. And in turn, God's love for us is unconditional. He does not expect us to be perfect in order to somehow earn his love. He freely gives it in spite of our faults, in our imperfections, our weaknesses, and our sinfulness. All of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And equally important is the notion of loving our neighbors. Now, on the surface, this seems to be a pretty easy message to understand, at least. Practicing in our daily lives is a little more complicated. But notice that loving our neighbor is not a suggestion, it's a command. The challenge comes in when we explore in depth the question of who is our neighbor. You know, certainly our spouse and our children and our neighbors, well, those are the easy ones, perhaps. But what about the guy over there that smells funny or looks odd? That person who may worship in a way differently than our own. That guy who, or woman who has too many tattoos. And perhaps in a more timely way, that individual who claims that he or she will vote a particular way on Tuesday, which we know is wrong. Love of neighbor is at the heart of our ethics, and it is intimately connected to our love of God. For the reason to love one's neighbor, it's an outgrowth of our embracing of our relationship with God. A relationship founded in the love of God that does not find expression in love of neighbor is misplaced. Pope Benedict once said, "If in my life I fail completely to heed others solely out of a desire to be devout and to perform my religious duties, then my relationship with God will grow arid. My relationship becomes merely proper, but loveless. We love our neighbor in how we act, as well as in our words and in our gestures. We love our neighbor through smiles, in words of gentle counsel. We love our neighbor, especially when we lift up a hand to those in need. I have especially loved this poem, which I'd like to share with you. You can sit with us, and you can live beside us. You can play your music, and you can listen to mine. We can dance together, and we can share our food. We can keep an eye on each other's kids. We can teach each other new languages. We can respect traditions. We can build new ones. And you can ask for a cup of sugar. And you can ask for directions. And you can tell me when things are hard. And you can tell me when beautiful things happen. We can listen to stories. And we can disagree. And we can agree. We can come to understandings. You can wear what you want. You can pray as you feel compelled to. You can love who you want. You can sit with us. We have so many opportunities to love our neighbors. Those we know and those we don't know. Those seen and unseen. Those who may live in the shadows and to whom we are called to bring light. Our God is not only loving, but he's also merciful and forgiving. Can we be expected to exhibit anything other than those qualities? As disciples, we're called to trust in God, to know that he is always with us, and that his mercy and his love and his understanding and forgiveness extend far beyond our understanding. Sometimes to be his disciple is simple, and sometimes it's very complex. To love God and our neighbors can be simple, and it can be also complex. And God sets for us a very high standard, not expecting that today or tomorrow or next week or next month that we're going to hit that standard, but we keep reaching for that standard. For it's in that process of reaching for that standard that we encounter even more deeply the grace of God.